everybody. We are back. We're GFBS, Grand Forks' best source. On a hump day Wednesday, Mayor Brandon Bochensky joining us again on the show today. Show, by the way, brought to you by Raptor PCS right here in the Grand Cities Mall. The very best place to take your computer. You need a fix, they do it all. They do computer builds, virus removal, hardware repairs, all at affordable rates. And if you're looking for a new laptop, check out Raptor PCS. You know, if they're working on your stuff, odds are you'll get it back the following day. They'll even come to your house and pick your computer up, or you can stop by the loading zone in front of Rumors. These guys win awards every year, the top-rated local businesses, and it'll be no different this year. Make sure when you bring that computer in to have work done to it, you mention this ad, they'll give you 15% off any computer service. We go to Raptor PCS all the time. I told you it's the best place to take your computer. Check them out, raptorpcs.com, or call 701-772-7626. Raptor PCS right here in the Grand Cities Mall. Well, if you have any questions or comments for Mayor Bochensky today, make sure to call us up or text us. Our phone number is 701-213-0863, 701-213-0863. And before we get going, time for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. here we go. You know, it's a fact. The people of Saudi Arabia don't like the Flintstones. Yeah, the people in Saudi Arabia do not like the Flintstones. But the people of Abu Dhabi do. Abu Dhabi do. Katie, what'd you think, Katie?
That's probably the cheesiest one, literally, out of all of them. Yubby dubby doo. Had to do my impression.
I'd say the level's gone down from the start.
Oh, so come on.
You're going to have to work on that. Yeah.
That one's probably the worst. Sorry, that I've heard so far.
Abu Dhabi do. I thought that was pretty good. Anyway, welcome back to the studio, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
One thing I wanted to ask you right off the bat, UND hockey. I mean, what a heartbreaker on the NCAAs. What were your thoughts there?
Wow. Watching that game, five overtimes, all my kids fell asleep and I carried them up to bed. They were like stiff as a board. I had to work them through the doors. And I finally got back down and turned it on. And I was texting a buddy and I said, Sanderson's going to get the goal. I mean, the kid looks like he's it's the first period. He's still flying around. He does about three circles around the zone. Everyone's tired. He shoots it, hits the post, and they come down and get a cheesy five-hole goal. And it was just like, this isn't what it was meant to be.
I'll be the first to admit, I didn't stay up for the whole thing. Yeah. I tried. Now, your thoughts, and I brought this up to Tim Hennessy when he was on the show a couple of weeks ago. Now, when the COVID thing hit, Minnesota Duluth got that first bye. Now, don't you think being the number one seed, now, if this was run like a regular tournament, the number one seed, if there's odd numbers, gets the bye. Don't you think they should have got that bye or not? And do you think it would have made a difference? Hennessy didn't seem to think it would have made that big of a difference, but I just want to pick your brain a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure there was nothing in their rule book. We're kind of in uncharted territories when it comes to, you know, a team forfeiting, essentially, I guess. I don't know, you got pulled out because somebody got COVID. When you're talking about back-to-back games and a five overtime game, you don't want to look back and make excuses, but there's no doubt they were, you know, more tired than the other teams.
Sure.
I mean, I know from playing those second games, you can barely get through the game, let alone play another full almost game and a half after that.
Yeah.
So it might have had something to do with, not to the point where they got into overtime, but maybe it wouldn't have been an overtime game. I don't know.
But, right.
You know, you don't want to hold on to those things. They didn't get it done under what the rules were.
Well, I tell you what, us Minnesotans were chomping at the bits. You know, you got three of the four teams out of Minnesota, and look what happens with UMass. You know,
yeah, they kind of steamrolled the championship game there too, winning 5-0. It's always tough because you want to have that consolation prize to say, well, at least the team that beat us won the national championship, but. I was plenty happy to see Duluth get beat.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping for Hastings and Mankato to do something. I've known Mike my entire life, played with him and against him as kids and through high school. But it was a good tournament, always is. But do you miss your days playing?
Oh, absolutely. We were talking earlier, I picked up tennis, but it's just not quite the same. You kind of miss the roar of the crowd. I would say... once you get to the spring and the cold part of winter, I don't miss training camp. You know, those 6 weeks of pretty tough, 3 days, three times a day of training. But, of course, I'm going to miss it. It was a big part of my life for three decades.
Yeah. You doing the men's beer league or anything at nights now?
Yeah, we do a Wednesday night, just a group of us former UND players, some ex-pros and that type of thing. We get together Wednesday nights and have a couple pops beforehand and play some hockey and And in the summer, we do golf instead on Wednesday, so we kind of rotate. But I've been missing too many recently, so if they're watching, they're probably shaking their fists at me right now.
The duties of being a mayor, right?
Yeah, a mayor and a father and a loving husband and a business owner. Yeah, it gets to be busy.
Mm-hmm. Bailey says, good morning, boys, by the way. She tried to stay up to watch that game, ended up watching it and going back to bed about 2 in the morning. Hi, Bailey. And I hope you had a great birthday last week. Did you make it to her party?
No, Bailey. Me and Bailey are pretty close. I don't know. I feel a little slighted, but she put it at the same time as a council meeting. So I was pretty sad I had to miss it. But,
yeah, we were going to try to show up and we had some stuff going on too. So, but happy late birthday.
Yeah, I did get to call her and sing happy birthday to her. So that was
you did?
That was good. Oh, yeah.
Are you a good singer?
No. Not at all.
Figured.
It's the thought that counts.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about some business stuff here. First off, just a couple of rumors that are going around town. Refugees is one of them. I've heard it from a couple of people saying possibly a couple of thousand coming to Grand Forks. Is there any merit to that?
No, that's untrue. About the closest thing we've heard is that the Air Force needed to put out, and I'm speculating here, but the Air Force needed to put out a couple locations. I think the Pentagon had asked them to put out a couple locations of where they could possibly house it if it got to that point. And quite frankly, I think the Air Force just picked places that were not hospitable at all, mm-hmm. so they wouldn't have to deal with it. Because, you know, can you imagine having a tent type of city, refugees type of thing with this weather that just hit here?
Oh, my gosh. So,
There's not anything behind that rumor, and our congressional delegation and our governor have been very forthright in fighting against that and saying, you know, you've created a problem down there and you've got to fix that yourself.
Yes, yeah, and it's funny when you mention that, all of a sudden we get another 5-6 inches of snow or whatever, but even the locals forget how to drive because my trip into town this morning, I saw numerous cars in the ditch, and you know, and people are like, whoa, we're snowing in April. We always get snow in April.
Yeah,
this is the way it is.
Well, here's the other side too. So we were on a call yesterday with up there in Canada talking about when the border is going to reopen, and there's a possibility that Trudeau's talking October.
I know that's what I've heard.
It
October
might not even be spring of 2022. But here I'm thinking, all right, we've got the northern border is the most locked down it's ever been in the history of mm-hmm. America, and the southern border is the most open it's ever been in the history of America. So what are we? Who's protecting who, and what are we trying to do here? It's just bizarre times that we live in.
And the thing is, the things that we legally have to do here as United States citizens, the refugees don't have to, which makes a lot of people mad.
Yeah. Well, I saw down at their in-person schooling to immigrant children and stuff. They don't even have in-person schooling for American citizens. So mm-hmm. it's like California. I don't know. I'm not gonna. Probably ever be able to figure out what they're doing, but
yeah, you think they should maybe just be their own state?
Yeah, didn't they talk about the state of Jefferson? Wasn't that the northern part was going to peel off? They mm-hmm. got some good people up there. I've met
they do
met some good bow hunters and other guys up there through the years. So.
Yeah, I used to live in Northern California. I lived in the East Bay area, and the Californians out there considered it two different states: Northern California and Southern California. But it was a beautiful place up there. But it just. When you talk about bow hunters, I had mentioned the fact that I was a bear hunter. That didn't go over very well with my friends in California. They like to hug the trees and the bears and everything.
Well, you weren't a bear hunter with a bow, were you? That's a
yes, I was actually.
That's impressive. Yeah.
What about mask mandate now? 1323. Your thoughts on that? I mean, they're going to tweak it. They're do whatever they got to do to it.
Yeah, in the end, it doesn't really affect us because it's at the state level. You know, I don't know what it'll end up being with the county health officer type of deal, but I mean, that's a local issue. I think it was largely kept that way early on until Burgum stepped in. You know, we're not testifying one way or another on that one.
I want to answer this text from Beth. Back in 2016, Judicial Watch reported in their Corruption Chronicle that 6 U.S. bases were being considered for housing illegals. Grand Forks Best Source was on that list. With the amount of empty housing out there, certainly is a concern. All right, thank you for your text.
Yeah, well, they have pulled out a lot of that housing. So back at the peak, there was a lot more housing, but they've torn down and moved. Mm-hmm. So they don't have the housing that they would.
No.
So they couldn't do that in permanent housing. But I'll reiterate on that so we can put it to bed. It's very, very unlikely that we were going to receive any of that from the Southern Rush.
Mm-hmm.
The surge. Or no, the you surge. Can't call it a surge, right?
What are the, wow. we'll call it a rush.
It's a surge. Yeah, I mean,
it is.
It has nothing. Insurgent is a different word. It's yeah. not. Surge isn't the root word for insurgent.
Right.
So AOC might need to recheck that.
Yeah, Surge is a French hockey player name. any news? Do you know? And I know this is at a county level, so maybe you don't. But now with the snow and everything, I'm going to use me for an example. I've been doing yard work in this early spring. And I live in the country, so I have a burn pile. And I have got a burn pile as big as this studio, and I can't burn it. Do you know if that's, will this snow and moisture, will that put an end to that? Or is that something that's probably out of your hands?
I haven't heard. Actually, Sheriff Schneider usually gives me a call and gives me the heads up before they do stuff like that. So I did know, you know, far in advance of the first one. But I think with this moisture, they can probably drop it. I know Terry Burke, he always calls on the radio and says, he's willing to burn all the city's cardboard up there in Manville. So he might have a real stockpile of that he needs to get burned through too. So,
yeah. I want to ask you about this. We had a lady on the show yesterday. Her name is Margot Knorr. And it is about wastewater surveillance, wastewater surveillance. Are you familiar with what wastewater surveillance is?
Yeah, we've been doing that and tracking it with the city. I know they had a couple bills that they were looking at needing to get approval from local boards, whether it's the council or the commission on that before you do it. I don't think those came to fruition. So, you know, legally we can check the wastewater. We just monitor. It usually does follow cases. So it stayed relatively low, though. We haven't seen any spikes here in the last.
Yeah. And the reason why is she had mentioned, I can't remember what city it was, but they were doing it without even the city government knowing. They had just gone through whoever the head cheese was at the, you know, their wastewater facility or their water treatment plant. And this was all being done without anybody's knowledge. And it just makes me wonder, where do you draw the line when they're going to start checking what comes out your lower end just to find out about these kind of things?
Well, I think your city leadership needs to know that mm-hmm. and that's going on and authorize it. I don't know if that mayor or that council was asleep at the wheel, but we're certainly more in tune to what's going on around here.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. New bridge, again, in the news. They've got it down to, well, the way it sounds to me is 32nd Avenue or 47th Avenue. I know Elks Drive has been in there, paying $95,000 to have this analyzed. Do you think we're going to see construction on a new bridge anytime soon?
Yeah, so that first study for the hydraulics, that was voted on, and they did that before I got in, and then we got to see the results of it. It kind of showed Elks and 32nd were the two that made the most sense, just based on what you'd have to do excavating-wise mm-hmm. and cost-wise. Now they're doing a traffic study through the MPO, so the city's not paying for that. The MPO, you know, has federal funding to pay for that. And I think they do need to look at it. I still really struggle to see the benefit for Grand Forks of having that bridge there. Traffic-wise, too, I mean, I get that you can have a development there and grow, and hopefully that feeds to our business sector on 32nd, but is that enough to affect the homeowners that are around there? And traffic-wise, I'm concerned, too. If you add a residential neighborhood of a couple hundred houses across the river, they're still going to come over to Belmont and go north mm-hmm. there to get downtown and other places. So it's still concerning, so we'll see what that comes out on. I've always been a Merrifield Road guy. Get that one done first and see, mm-hmm. see what happens there, but... No, there's been a renewed push to get something done there. So we'll probably get through that study and then the traffic study and then see what, do some neighborhood type of engagement and see. I mean, I can't imagine you're going to want one there if you live right there.
Well, I live between the corner of Business 2 and Highway 2 and Merrifield. So I'm right in between there. And I've been making a lot of trips to like Lowe's and the south end of Grand Forks. As far as I'm concerned, as the crow flies, it would take me 10 minutes to make that trip, but I could probably make it to Crookston quicker than I can to get to the south end. So I'm kind of all for the new bridge, but again, I get it as far as the neighborhoods go and the traffic and all that stuff. But one thing I've thought of was especially like beet harvest and things like that, maybe just stop a little bit of the traffic, the heavy truck traffic coming through downtown.
Yeah, and that's so if there is a inner city bridge at 32nd or Elks, it will not allow for that truck traffic. So you still need the Merrifield one to get that bypass.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. And do you know, are they thinking about a high bridge, like the new Thompson Bridge? Or
that would be a dry one down there in Merrifield. Mm-hmm. So that one would get, the entire state would have to flood before.
Right.
Have to be a,
right.
Moses or Noah's Ark type of event for that one to flood.
Yeah. Another thing, Grand Forks School Board, man, they cut a lot of money. There's going to be some teachers losing their jobs, some great classes and things they do, but to the tune of $4.5 million. Your thoughts on that?
Well, they've got a lot more work to do as well. It's tough. You've spent a lot of money building out these theaters and these arts types of, let's call them capital investments, and now mm-hmm. you're going to cut the program. So mm-hmm. now you've built this thing for a program and a program that you've cut. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's tough times. They, you know, a lot of it they're dealing with from mistakes from years past, so it's tough. You can't put all the blame on them, but they've been needed. They probably should have been done sooner. I'm looking on the city side of, you know, how we can help out. We helped out during COVID and sent them a little less than $500,000. And now the school resource officers is another thing that's a 50-50 cost mm-hmm. share. There's officers in the high schools and the middle schools, 5 officers. So I'm proposing in our next budget that we'll take the whole cost of that. So
it's oh, wow.
$340,000 total, about $170,000 each. It was probably a little more on our side already. Mm-hmm. We've already given them a deal, so I'm going to try to work that in our budget. So it's just a way, you know, intergovernmental agency to try to help out.
Now, in my understanding, these are issues that didn't just pop up. This has been going on for a long time, and it just seems like it gets passed on to the next school board, to the next school board, and all of a sudden, our current school board, they're stuck. I mean, they have to do something. You can't just make up money.
Well, you've got a general fund. You got to run your operations out of that, and when you start pulling money from there to maintain buildings and start deferring maintenance, it's a mess. And like you said, this happened over a decade. It didn't just happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A year for, you know,
right.
And this is something we can blame. Seems like everyone wants to blame everything on COVID. You can't blame this one
no,
on COVID.
No. And you know, not everybody's an athlete. You know, there are other venues, and Beth says, art and music are vital to students as they are therapeutic. So sad they are cutting some of those programs. And it is sad. I mean,
yeah, the art wise one was probably the toughest, the artist in the classroom. I still think, you know, I guess it got a 6-3 vote. That one, that cost, you know, it was really pennies compared to everything else. That really should have been one that was held on to, in my opinion.
Well, maybe they could find some funding. Who knows? Maybe somebody will step up. That'd be cool.
Yeah, but if it's not at least partially funded by the school, then it becomes like not a school
sure.
program. But,
yeah.
You know, anyways, I know they're working hard on it too and trying to find a path forward.
Okay. A lot more to talk about. We're going to talk about executive properties first. I tell you what, with the executive properties, now, if they're always going to call you back. I hear it time and time and time again that people have called contractors and they say, yeah, we'll be out there to look at it. Yeah, we'll call you back. And they don't. Well, executive properties will call you back no matter what. Now, even if they don't do that type of work, if they don't, they're going to refer you to somebody that does. Now, here's the thing about executive properties. Barry Romo, the guy that's got a ton of experience, probably 35 years or so, he's going to come in. He's going to bid the job. He's going to prep the job. Executive properties will do it from start to finish. No middleman, just executive properties. But here's the thing. Now, if you've been heeing and hawing all winter long about getting some work done this spring, you might want to get a hold of them now because once spring rolls around, again, if it does, they're going to be busier than heck. You can check out the reviews on Facebook and Google. Check out their website, executiveproperties.org. They got some great pictures there. Or just call them up, 701-330-1273, Executive Properties. They're your one-stop shop, and they can do it all for you, man. They are great builders. Back with Mayor Brad Obolchinski, you were showing me the layout, the new BMX track, new location. Super, super big thing for Grand Forks.
Oh, it's awesome. And I got to give a lot of credit to Danny Wagle for helping muscle that and push that thing through. But that is just great for our community. The location's going to be great. It's going to bring life to that area. It's going to be a top-notch facility. They've been fundraising. I've been trying to help them fundraise. And they just, it's not announced yet, but they landed a really big fish on a 5-year deal that's really going to take that thing to the next level. So look for that announcement soon. But I couldn't be happier on the work that got done there and that we were able to make it happen and make it happen quick. They're
yeah,
going to be building that track soon. So
yeah, this is going to bring in people. They're going to be doing national events. and when you can bring in people from all over the country, that brings in money from all over the country. And we're going to get Wagle on the show here and talk about this, but super place to have it too.
Yeah, and it's, like you said there, it's pretty low investment for what you can bring mm-hmm. back in economic-wise because you bring in 250 riders with their families, you're filling up 250 hotel rooms.
Oh, yeah.
Or campgrounds, campsites, restaurants, everything.
Everything.
That money comes in quick, and you don't look at it just as your sales tax from the city. You look at it as what is getting contributed to local businesses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then the fact that people might be making their first trip ever to Grand Forks, and it's going to be on their destination for possibly to come back, maybe a vacation, maybe come up, do some fishing, maybe watch UND Fighting Hawks games. It's, Grand Forks is a great place.
Absolutely. We're just making it better by the day.
Okay, now, America Rescue Plan. Grand Forks, is it like $11 million, I think, possibly coming. Any ideas about that or what to do with this money?
Well, I guess first I should say that it's really it's a hard one because I think the amount of money that's getting spread out in this thing is really unwarranted, and it's not federally, I just don't think it was a good idea. I think we handled it pretty well. So we're dumping all this federal money on us, and you look at us getting $11.3 million, while places like LA are getting like $4 billion.
Yeah, so yeah.
Places that have completely destroyed their economy are getting lifted up by this. And so, I mean, in that case, we got to find a way to spend it and make it work well. But I'm still not happy with the program nationally. We've got some great plans. I think we talk quality of life. I always talk about job growth. We've been so aggressive in business recruitment and job growth that now we need to look at quality of life because we're going to need workforce. We need to recruit new workforce to come into town, and we got to retain what we have. So I look at quality of life, and I think we're going to look at by the Alaris Center and Columbia Mall, maybe the Grand Cities Mall at a children's museum. We got the BMX park now, a destination park, so like a $2 million multi-level playground. What else we got? The turf facility, aquatic center. So this is my plan is to propose something where maybe 20-25% of these projects we'll have the funding for up front. So
sure.
The children's museum is $15 million. We'll basically have a fight for that between nonprofits, and whoever can come up with the best proposal, we'll give them $3 million to start that project and get it off the ground, and do the same for the turf and aquatic center, all the rest of it.
Great idea.
Yeah.
All great ideas.
Let's do one-time things, I guess, is the point. Rather than just spend this money on some infrastructure, which we need, but let's have something we can look back for and show that this is what we did with the money.
Right. Something that's going to last a while, too. I mean, you could fix the roads and the streets all you want, but around here with this weather, it's just a fix.
Well, and I would just give it all back to property tax, but that's one of the strings that you can't, you can basically just lift property tax for a year or nearly all of it, but that's one of the strings. You can't do it for that or pension funds, so they want you to spend the money on growth things.
We just got a text from Chad watching from Montgomery, Texas. Love your show. They're watching us down in Texas there, Bo.
I think we get some Californians moving here. I don't know if we get any Texans, though.
It's been in the news the last couple of days. Ambassador Hotel, is the wrecking ball in the future of that real soon, or can they fix it? Can they get it up to snuff?
I don't think cost-wise they're going to be able to. I think this was a problem that was kicked down the road way too long. It's a previous administration and other people let it go too long. We got a complaint there in March and had the fire department inspections and public health go through there, and they had violations from all three. Let alone just a general code violation. It says Ambassador Motel, but they don't have a motel or hotel license with the city.
Right,
so
right.
They shouldn't have been operating. If they're saying it's an apartment and 30-day lease, then you need a certificate of occupancy and you have to have kitchens and other types. Mm-hmm. They didn't have that either. So they shouldn't have been operating at all. And it was deemed unsafe. I think there were some complaints because we ended up doing it on a Friday, but that was all it was that was the first day that we'd gotten all of our ducks in a row to be able to send out the document. It was the first day. It's an unsafe place to live. That was the first chance we had to pin it there. That's when we did it. And we set up social services so we could help out people with families because you're not going to send them to the mission or somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You get hotels. So we did everything the right way, and it's a tough one when you have to step in. I don't want to have an iron fist on business like that, but you got to follow the rules and you got to follow the law.
The fire department's actually walking around the mall right now. They just got done with lunch down there at Moe's, but speaking of that, how did the ambassador slip through the cracks all these years when I know what, like, Moe's had to deal with as far as inspections and all of that things? It took him quite a while to finally open up the doors, but how in the world could something slip through the cracks like that? I mean, this was before your time, but... Yeah,
well, I think they were given notices to fix things, and then, you go back and you check on it, and then you give them another notice. It just, they didn't want to do what was hard, and we're not going to kick things down the road, and we're going to do what's hard. I mean, it's tough. You had to displace 34 residents there, so
right, right.
It's tough, but we have to do those things. We're going to make those hard decisions.
Got an idea from Beth, a few ideas for a small portion of that money. public orchard, pollinator byway, eliminate toxic mosquito spraying, and bring in natural mosquito control, such as dragonflies that eat both the adult and baby mosquitoes. These are the kind of things that foster vibrancy, not more apartment buildings.
Yeah, well, I can promise it won't go to apartment buildings, but no, I know Beth's, I've talked to Beth a few times about different things she's mentioned there. So those are all low-cost things that can be done, too. The pollinator hive, I mean, these are things that, can be great. We've even talked about, you know, different types of horticulture and plants that you can do instead of grass that you don't have to go cut. So you can, not only can you set up different spaces with less maintenance, but you can have some more of a beautiful type of space. So definitely some good ideas there. And Beth, feel free to reach out to me as we get into summer now and can implement some of those things. Mm-hmm.
I actually have neighbors that live around my house that won't get rid of their dandelions because of the bees. And I'm the kind of guy, I get rid of the dandelions.
Was this Pastor Paul with the bees? That might have been. Watch out there.
No, hey, no.
Really quick. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I was actually, my mom asked me to find out if I could get the information on this. And Mary or Maria, she just asked it. There's all those trees that are cut down on South Cherry, and we don't know why. Do you know why?
Oh, yeah. They got to replant them. So they had they were either infested by insects, or they had enough damage where it was more than 50%, so they weren't going to come back fully. So the Park District did cut them down. They were a little backed up last year on these things because of COVID and not being able to have full crews. So they will be replanted. Obviously, it takes years to grow trees like that. It breaks your heart. I mean, that's an iconic drive. You know, that tree canopy is awesome. That's where people want to live. So it's going to take some time for them to regrow, but it was necessary based on the fact that they weren't going to come back fully and that they had, you know, received more than 50% damage from either insect storms.
Yeah, it's a shame. I remember years ago in my hometown when Dutch elm disease was running wild, and that's how Thief River Falls was. It was all lined with these huge elm trees all through the city, and they basically had to go and cut them all down. And it was just a shame. Yeah. You know, like you said, these trees are hundreds of years old. More things to talk about. Let's talk about the Herald Building, Mr. Mayor. $1.1 million grant for the Herald Building. How big is this?
I think it's huge. I mean, I was originally wanting to sell that building and move on from it. I really looked at it as the city needs to get out of the traditional landlord type of commercial real estate business. So that's not what this is going to be. This isn't intended to be a moneymaker. I think we will get to break even, but this isn't a moneymaker. This is an economic driver in the tech industry and startups and to drive people into the town. So I think it's huge to be able to have gotten that $1.1 million grant from the EDA. You know, we got nice words written about it from the governor. Even Biden was on the letter saying, I don't know, they gave a quote or something from him. And
was it legible?
It's like you had nothing to do with this. But anyways, the other great part is we had to have a local match on that. And we were able to turn revolving loan funds from the flood and defederalize those and use those. So we used old federal money as a match for new federal money as our local share. So we took basically zero local taxpayer money. Obviously, you pay federal taxes. But to be able to get that rebuild done, which will take it to the next level, get those, it's going to have a small data center. It's going to have really high-tech, boardroom. It's going to have access to super fast internet, wired internet speed up and down. Tons of interest already. The Airtonomy is already in there. KSI is already in there. Airtonomy isn't part of the remodel, but they're already expanding. They're doubling their workforce. So the Herald's, we're working on something now where the Herald space, they're actually going to shrink further, and we're going to spread Airtonomy into there. So hopefully that works out. But the building's going to be full, and it's going to be really active, and it'll be a cool place to be.
Did the building ever get put up for sale, or you just kind of waited on it until you guys came up with this?
Well, no, not when I was there.
Okay.
The city had bought it, I don't know, 2 years ago, and when from Forum Communications when they sold it. It was bid out. I mean, there was a couple of local businesses that looked at buying, and the city ended up stepping in for somewhat this purpose. They were going to use it as a shared space. The school district does have some things in there now. They were going to move some city offices in there. I just changed the direction of it, put it more towards this economic driver, less away from city offices and intergovernmental offices with the school district, which they'll be moving out in June. So it's really going to be entrepreneur, tech-focused, business-focused, and I'm really excited to see that grow.
Good. Archives Coffee House on UND campus. They're asking for like a zone change or something. What do they want to serve beer and wine or something like that?
I think they want to be able to go to your wine bar, your alcohol thing. I haven't seen the full document on that yet, but No, I think that'd be great. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you can protect people as much as you want from these things, but they're still available. So at the end, it's the personal responsibility. So when you talk, anytime you talk gambling and alcohol, you have a certain crowd that says we've got too much of that.
But yeah.
You got to be responsible for yourself.
I mean, and you know what? If you're at of age, you know, 21 or older, and you're near campus and you want to go have a glass of wine or a beer, you don't have to go downtown. You don't have to go, you know, schlep yourself over to a bar with Uber or a taxi yeah. or, you know, doing the irresponsible thing of driving. Yeah. It's kind of nice when you can just walk within walking distance of some of a place like this.
And that corridor is really looking nice now. And, mm-hmm. you know, with the mill overlay from university basically going up to Washington now, all the way through there, I think it looks really nice, and it really gets good as you get across Columbia heading to the west towards campus. It's pretty phenomenal. And I think this is just another draw to that area, and it puts us on the map. And hopefully, you know, you'd hate to think that's the thing that brings more students here. But we need to get some more students on campus because then they're really adding to our economy. The online, you're not really adding to the Mm-mm. economy. You're just paying teachers at UND.
Yeah, you could be out of state still taking your classes when you could be here.
Which is great. Like, you do pay salary, and that's going to transfer. That mm-hmm. money velocity will move a little slower. But, you know, those teachers then spend money you can add to workforce. But being the students here, you're adding to that much quicker.
I think they're going to plan to go in person, I think, this fall. I mean, that's what I heard. Yeah. Have you heard anything? Or
well, their deadline was they wanted to be able to be vaccinated by July to make that announcement. But then they've basically had access now to the vaccine months ahead of time. So I wouldn't imagine them to go back on that.
Is that what this is going to come to, though? You have to have a vaccine before they let you back in class?
No, we're not going to do that. I mean, I guess the university system will have to decide. Mm-hmm. I've got no interest in that, you know, vaccine passport type of thing.
Yeah. That's I'm going to do this. Thank you.
We've pretty well seen that there's a choice that you have to make. It's not mandatory. You know, this isn't mandatory for city employees by any means either. I did get vaccinated. I was trying to, you know, send a signal that I think it's safe. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of people probably my age, you know, healthy, probably there's not, you know, as much interest in getting vaccinated mm-hmm. because, you know, the benefits really aren't there. You don't have as much risk of getting sick, but there is some risk. But I just want us to get to the point where we're at herd immunity so other people are more comfortable going out again and can participate in the economy fully. So it's a health thing, but it's really an economic thing too, in my mind.
I've been heeing and hawing about it. My wife was scheduled to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine here, I believe next week, and now that got put on hold. But I've been heeing and hawing about it, and I thought that would be the one I'd get because I only want one. I don't want to have to go back twice. But now I guess we'll have to wait and see how that works.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was 6 cases out of 7 million doses that have been administered. So it's less than 1 in a million, which if you're a Dumb and Dumber fan, then you're saying I got a chance. But I had the meeting with the health department. We did pull the plug on ours to pause it in the meantime. But I said, let's still accept it. Like, mm-hmm. let's keep taking it in and we'll store it. And then when that changes, we'll have a stockpile to be able to give out. And then funny, I was on the radio yesterday and, KNOX had been giving us some guff cause we were routing some of those towards UND and they were, you know, saying that the city population, people want to do that one dose first as well. So we split it up pretty well, but Ryan Cunningham stopped and he said, you know what? You guys can keep all that Johnson Johnson now. We don't want any more of it. So I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Leave it to Rhino to stir the pot a little bit.
Yeah.
We had Ben Olson in here this morning, Berkshire Ben from Berkshire Hathaway. Property values climbed now 2.45% in Grand Forks. Good thing?
I really want housing prices to stay flat so that wages can raise and you'll have more disposable income. But with, it's just new home building is expensive.
Yeah.
You got plywood, you got other sheets of stuff, let's call it a half inch OSB was, $24.99 and it's $62.99 now.
Yeah.
Well, you got to use a lot of those to build a house. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know how we don't have inflation and how the CPI, Consumer Price Index, to me must be climbing because everything's more expensive. It's just not showing up. So I don't know if the feds are hiding some of that stuff or what, but inflation's going to be around the corner from all this loose federal money. There's no doubt.
I have a couple of bids on work being that I want done in my house and they're still sitting on the table because I look at the plywood costs and I think about, man, if this would have been a year ago, a year and a half ago, this whole project that I'm working on would have cost me about half of what it's going to cost me.
Well, dimensional lumber has been up too, steel, all your siding, even wiring for, actually I just talked to my electrician. They had to buy up the blue boxes, just your simple blue mm-hmm. electrical boxes there's a shortage on those.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Just a plastic hot press, you know? So it's crazy. But that's there's going to be pressure on housing prices because of that. And I don't like to see that. I want them to stabilize so that wages can grow. And mm-hmm. like I said, we can...
And you know, I'm one of those guys that you could almost call me a mini hoarder. I'm one of those guys when I do work, I had a bunch of the blue boxes and plumbing stuff and all of this stuff. And after sitting in my garage or my basement for years, I finally decided, okay, I'm going to throw all this stuff away, even though it was brand new. But I hate to do that. And yeah, now look at it. I could have maybe made some money on the black market box.
The one time it was worth something. Usually you hoard something and it's just no value. It's like your old VHS collection or something. Then the one thing you could have got rid of.
Yeah, you could have got rid of them like with hotcakes. Any big, exciting stuff coming up that I missed?
I think the biggest thing right now is that that Bitcoin blockchain company that's they're looking for a five-year exemption on their remodel. That is the largest data center Bitcoin. They call it digital asset mining and blockchain hosting in North America, not mm-hmm. just the nation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Chinese dominated industry, and these guys are all old Microsoft execs and Amazon execs. And it's looking good. If we get this thing through, it's looking good to land them here. They're going to put $100 million worth of machines here that are going to be churning out this Bitcoin and more importantly, creating 24 jobs in the tech sector, which is great. And the franchise fees from that, just that one company alone, is going to be somewhere between $250,000 and $300,000 that comes to the city. And that's just mailbox money. You know, you just go out there and get a check. Mm-hmm. Largely it's for infrastructure that's on public
sure.
land, but that's really already set. So
we've been talking a little bit about this Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Are you dabbling in any of that stuff?
I wish I would have. I would. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
I wouldn't have to be pulling in the big mayor's salary if I was had a little money. Yeah, I think I figured it out. The mayor makes about half a Bitcoin a year. So
wow.
But so yeah, had I invested in that years ago, it would have been great. But no, I never dabbled in that. I'm kind of an old school, and if Federal Reserve type of guy, if you don't have the federal government behind it fully, then really they don't have the ability to bring it to the level of our fiat currency mm-hmm. that we have now. So I've never managed to get behind it in that way, but I wish I would have.
Yeah, I hear you. Do you think the United States is ever going to go to just cryptocurrency, cashless? Because I don't think it would be a good thing.
They never will. You want to know why? They can't create it themselves.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
They got a monopoly on money creation, so they're not going to give that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, you look at China now, rumor has it they're going total cryptocurrency now. But then again, they can't make their own decisions about anything anyway. So
yeah,
to me, it's just another way to regulate your population.
Well, they're probably the biggest currency manipulator, obviously, mm-hmm. in the world. And they've been using that to stick it to us for years. And they buy our 10-year debt, 10-year bonds, and they've got us held hostage. So
yeah,
I'm not a huge fan of China.
No,
Chinese government. I like Chinese people. They're great. But
yeah, government. Yeah. And now you can see why they don't want to be there anymore.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, thank you.
No problem.
We'll book you again in a month or so.
Absolutely.
All right. Go knock them dead, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I always love talking to Mayor Brandon Buchinski. Ah, what a great mayor we have in Grand Forks. Special thanks going out to Probita's Promotions. If you're looking to boost your brand, Probita's Promotions, they will do that. They'll make you stand out from the crowd. They're going to consult with you at no cost to help you find the perfect swag for your business. Whether it's logoed apparel, hats, promotional products, trade show displays, or awards, Probita's the region's top provider for free online stores. In fact, they're the perfect option for your company apparel ordering. Maybe you want some team spirit wear or any type of organization that wants to dress their members with logoed apparel. Probita's Promotions is the place to get a hold of. They're in Grand Forks, Fargo, Bismarck, and Minot. Shop ProbitasPromo.com or call 1-866-PRO-SWAG. Boost your brand and stand out from the crowd with Probita's Promotions. Hey, don't forget, we're on Amazon Music. Yeah, you just tell your smart speaker to play GFBS Podcast. It'll do it. Dirty Thursday tomorrow. The Bullring Boys are back. I'm going to tell you this right now. Donnie Schatz was scheduled to be on the show, running into some weather issues, but we have got NLRA late model racer Brody Tropgruben showing up tomorrow. Going to be a good time with Chad Hoff and the rest of the gang here. Hey, make sure to like, share, tag, and follow us, okay? We all know Grand Forks is a great place. Grand Forks' best source is giving it an identity again.